remember hearing the voicemail one evening that our application had gone through and literally dancing through the house like, oh my God, thank God we get to do this again.
Farming can be a labor of love, but love doesn't pay the bills.
You know, it felt like we had our one shot last year and didn't know if we were going to get the chance to grow for this community again.
Welcome to Cultivating Resilience, the show where farm care starts with self-care. I'm Hans Hageman.
And I'm Dr. K. Megan Washington. Together, we're going to cover some of the major stressors that farmers face and how to manage them so that you can focus on what you love about farming.
And we're starting out with one of the biggest stressors of all, finances.
I've always found it difficult to talk about money, either how much you have or how much you don't have or how much you need.
For me, professionally, it's always been a challenge. And I have had one or two jobs where I made really good money. And I'm sitting here now many years later thinking, what happened to it? Where did it go? So while I sometimes chastise myself for not being a better money manager, I also know that I've used money to start two different schools, one in Harlem, one in India, that both each time took my life savings. I've lent money to two farmers to save their farm operations, and I have no regrets. And I'm still the guy who listens to, you know, the woo-woo stuff about money manifestation. And so I'm hoping some manifests soon for me.
Finances can be a major source of stress for farmers. You need money to buy the land, tools, and seeds necessary to even start a farm. And with long growing cycles, unpredictable weather, and fluctuating commodity prices, it can be hard to predict how much money you'll make or even if you'll cover your expenses.
But even if finances feel overwhelming, there are ways to get yourself back in the driver's seat. Today, we talked to Vermonter Valerie Woodhouse, farmer, social worker, and owner of Honeyfield Farm, on her experience dealing with financial stress, both personally and professionally.
We'll also hear from University Extension educators Maria Papidis and Jesse Ketterman on strategies and resources for managing your money and overcoming financial stress.
All that and more on this episode of Cultivating Resilience.
Is there one more pallet?
One more.
One more. All right.
My name's Valerie Woodhouse. I use she and her pronouns.
Valerie, she feels like someone you would want on your side if you were starting up a business of any sort.
I reside in Norwich, Vermont. Me and my partner have an organic vegetable farm called Honeyfield Farm. I met my partner in 2012, who had been farming for about 6 or 7 years at that point, and started working on an organic farm kind of to impress him, and it just stuck. So I've been having my hands in the dirt one way or the other since then. We've been farming together since 2015 and landed on this property at the end of 2019, growing about 12 to 15 acres of organic veggies, as well as 8 greenhouses of annual and perennial flowers.
If I'm in Norwich, Vermont, and I'm driving around and I see the sign pointing me to Honeyfield Farm, and I pull up, what am I going to see during harvesting season, planting season? What kind of views are going to be there for me?
When you come up to the farm, the first thing you see is our little farm stand and a bunch of greenhouses. And this year we painted our farm stand to be bright yellow with a big sun, part of our logo, going across the front. And then we have 16 acres on our home fields. So we have a busy crew of folks running around, and our farm dog, Molly, who's a 13-year-old black lab. She really only comes out to get belly rubs and snacks.
We're getting ready for our pop-up market. We're going to do this in one of our greenhouses. So we're cleaning up the greenhouse, stacking up all the benches on one side to make a big open space. And this week we're inviting 13 other farms and small businesses, artists, makers to come out and have a little pop-up farmers market.
Valerie has another job off the farm, and it's one that gives her a unique perspective on agricultural stress. She's a social worker who focuses primarily on farmers' mental health. In terms of putting your bucket down with farmers, what about farmers and farming? Had you make that kind of shift? Why are those people and that work so important to you?
Even as a trained mental health professional, I have a lot of skills. Most of my professional career, I was doing stress coping skills work with groups and individuals. So I have all these tools in my tool bucket and still didn't know how to manage my workload as a farmer in a healthy way without getting burnt out, without having so much stress that it's impacting me physically, you know, how stress can manifest into stomach aches or insomnia or anxiety in my case. And I've been going to therapy most of my life since childhood and have gone through quite a few therapists since starting to farm professionally. And none of them really get it, you know? Of course they don't. They haven't had this lived experience. And I think that getting told, oh, this profession isn't compatible for a healthy lifestyle, that was hard for me to hear. And I feel like if that's what farmers are being told, what options do they have, really? You know, just suck it up and keep doing it, or hopefully be able to find someone who can relate to them and validate what they're experiencing and hopefully give some helpful suggestions on how to improve their experience when the stress is going to be there one way, you know, regardless.
What are the stressors that lead people in farming to feel that level of anxiety or any level of depression or any level of unease? Are there certain common stressors that impact people in the farming world?
With farming, almost everything is out of your control, which can be both a blessing and a curse. I feel like the underlying issue of all of this is finance, because like for us, you know, if an early frost happens or if there's a drought, like last year was an extreme drought up here in Vermont, or if you flood or anything, all of these out of control things, that loss of crops could be food on the table or a utility bill.
Well, the day got away from us. It's now almost 5 o'clock. The sun has set and Eli is harvesting baby kale in the greenhouse by lamplight. And I'm about to leaf blow in our greenhouse that we're doing the pop-up in to clean all the floors.
To give us some perspective on the financial side of things, we reached out to two people who teach about farm finances for a living.
I have been working with the University of Delaware Cooperative Extension for about, oh gosh, 30 years now, and come from a background of what we call family and consumer sciences.
That's Maria Papitas. Through the extension program, she teaches local farmers about everything from food safety to financial planning, along with her teaching partner, Jesse Ketterman.
My name is Jesse Ketterman. I'm with University of Maryland Extension. I'm also, like Maria, a family and consumer science educator. My focus is on financial literacy, and I got involved with health insurance literacy, which I think led into this area of farm stress management.
The wonderful thing about Maria and Jesse is that in the same way that people who have been married for a long time end up finishing each other's sentences and knowing exactly where the other person is going before they even get there, they're the same way. When I asked Maria what causes stress when it comes to farm finances, she echoed what Valerie had said.
It's more about uncertainty. Mostly about the things that they have no control over, right? So they have no control over prices. They have no control over what their input costs might be or what they're going to get in terms of the pricing when they have their product for sale. And so there's this amazing faith around continuing to farm and yet not knowing what the outcome is going to be. You know, that could be weather, that could be prices, it could be, you know, any sorts of things. So bless them for continuing to farm and support all of us in our food security needs. But I think that's the stressor, right, is that uncertainty about the financial ends of things and, in some aspects, lack of control.
So when everything feels unmanageable, what can you do to bring things back under your control?
It's very similar to what all people struggle with when it comes to their finances, is they don't set aside time to reflect and plan, right? It's easy for us to say everybody needs a budget, right? You need to have a budget. You need to know where your money's going. But it's hard for people to kind of put that into action steps. What is it they need to do? And so when you talk about farming, you need to have a business plan. And that business plan is going to kind of guide you and let you know how you're doing with your farm operation. So if you create a business plan and you're assuming that you're going to get so much money for your crop and you don't earn that money, now you have to ask the question, okay, what assumptions did I make that were not correct? And how do I fix that for next year? But you have to have a plan and you have to reflect back on your plan and are you meeting your desired goals or objectives?
And I think coupled with that is that whole record-keeping piece. I mean, how can you reflect back on a plan and see whether you did well or not if you don't have the records to know, right? So that's an important part of it as well. And I've certainly heard stories about people don't do their record-keeping until it's tax time.
The pop-up market is tomorrow, so we're really hoping this snow doesn't keep people away. We're going to get all plowed out and sanded bright and early tomorrow morning, and we're really crossing our fingers that people show up and support the local farms and local businesses that are coming.
Valerie found in her own experience that budgeting was essential, but it wasn't necessarily as straightforward as it might seem.
So you can go in with a plan, and I'm sure all business is like this. You go in with a plan and have to hold it loosely. But we're working with living things, whether that's plants or animals, and your ability to keep that thing alive and get it to turn into the product you want it to, there's a lot of room for error. And even when you're doing everything right, something could go wrong, you know, dealing with pests, disease, and then just the volatility of the market, whether that's all of a sudden you have 3,000 pounds of purple daikon radishes and you need to move them and something went awry and they don't have a destination. You got to find somewhere for that to go or else that's all been for nothing. The next piece for me really was getting support on learning how to even keep a budget and how to make financial projections and things of that nature. The really complicating factor for farmers, I think, is that in order to access things like operating loans, we have to show projections that are super optimistic because we want them to invest in us and they want to make a wise investment. At the same time, our farm isn't a place where it can pay us yet. So we have to balance making sure that our farm sales aren't kicking us off what we call the benefit cliff. I know lots of farmers who at the end of the year are purchasing tractors or equipment or things like making investments back in the farm so that they can reduce their income so that they can qualify for these assistance programs. And that's a challenging line to walk. And I think as someone who's self-employed, getting assistance and knowing how to navigate the very intense cash flow fluctuations that happen in a year, all of this is even a little more complicated.
Even though budgeting isn't always the easy answer, it's the basis for financial stability. Maria has a couple of strategies for building additional income streams, as well as allocating that money when it comes in.
I think our ag colleagues would say, you know, one approach is diversifying. So it's diversifying the products that you're creating or growing, having different sources of income, even though they may be all farming income. I think the other piece of it, whether we're talking about family finance or business finance, is to figure out and try to create that nest egg, right, that's going to help float in case there is a drop in prices and they're not earning what they're hoping to earn. Creating that savings or that nest egg or that some sort of strategy for continuing to have monies coming in and or having a pot of money to access when the money doesn't come in.
Whatever your strategy, it's important to have one. The biggest impediment to getting your finances in order is getting started, because you can't know what you're facing until you face it.
When you think about finances, whether it's your personal finances or your farm operations, it's the last thing you want to take care of, right? You want to take care of everything else in your life before you get to finances. But the challenge there is you have to manage your finances. And you can put things off for a couple of days, but if you put things off for a long period of time, next thing you know, you're behind. Next thing you know, you have bills that you didn't pay. Next thing you know, things spiral out of control. And so you need to make sure, especially when it comes to a business operation, that you're taking time to manage the financial aspects of your business.
All right. I'm in here in the barn with Eli. It's 9:45 p.m. and we're washing some greens for the market tomorrow. Eli, how many times have we been out here at 9:45 before a market?
Every market.
Another important financial factor for farmers is benefits. When you own a farm, there's no employer-provided health insurance or matching 401k, but that doesn't mean you should go without them.
For other farms experiencing financial stress, I think that as a social worker, my first instinct is to make sure that your needs are being met. For example, when we transitioned to full-time farming, the first thing I did was apply to Medicaid and apply to fuel assistance and apply for food stamps and apply for all these programs that I qualified for because I was essentially making no income. And there should be no embarrassment or stigma around that. These are things that a lot of farms, even well-established farms, are taking advantage of. And if you need help applying to those programs, your community likely has a program or organization that can assist you in applying to those. And one of the reasons why I wound up going to school and getting this professional social work career was so that one of us could be getting benefits and making a reasonable income to save money.
Finding coverage for yourself can seem expensive and daunting, but it doesn't have to be.
So certainly doing an assessment of the health insurance, you know, needs is important. And, you know, many farm families have off-farm employment so that they get benefits from that employer, right? So that is certainly one of the ways farms handle that. Certainly there's the option to go through the health insurance marketplace. For many farmers, they may actually qualify for some of the tax credits and subsidies through the marketplace if they go that route in terms of getting their health insurance, which is different than going to, say, a broker who may not have access to those plans. And so there wouldn't be that tax credit or subsidy that could help offset the cost. I've heard of numerous farming operations who did that and ended up qualifying for some serious subsidies, going from paying $1,500 a month to $50 a month just because they went through the marketplace. So that is an important thing to investigate, if to cut those healthcare costs. And some even qualify for Medicaid, which is the government-sponsored health insurance program for really low-income folks.
We're done. Not, we have 6 minutes.
One thing you learn pretty quickly as a farmer is that it's tough to go it alone. Sometimes you need to lean on outside resources or your community, but those discussions can be hard, especially when it comes to finances.
I think the other piece that I see a lot is money is still a really taboo topic. Just talking about it, right? And especially, you know, farmers and their spouses and their family members that are involved with the farm, and what can we do together, right, around how we manage the farm or the way we use our resources, whether that's time, you know, people, time, or other, you know, financial resources, equipment resources, whatever it is, you know, how do we use that effectively so that we can impact the bottom line in a positive way? To take the taboo out of it and like, hey, you know, our goal is to succeed, right? How do we succeed?
A lot of people don't want to talk about when they're not being successful with their finances. And so you hold that in, you don't talk to others. It becomes a stressor on you. It becomes a stressor on your farm operation. It becomes a stressor on your family life. You need to start figuring out what are your options? What are your resources? Who can you talk to? You know, the first step is feeling comfortable enough to seek help. And if you can do that, then your situation can become more manageable because you're using the resources that are available to you.
I think that's always the hardest part for folks, is figuring out that you need help and asking for it.
For Valerie, financial help and mentorship have been necessary to get the Honeyfield operation off the ground.
We've worked with a handful of financial and business advisors that have all been offered to us and the community. And then that transitioned into a state-funded program that matches us with a business advisor, and it also provides funding for us to work with consultants. For example, I've personally worked with two different mentors, other women who do greenhouse growing in the same style that I'm doing, who have been paid for up to 3 years now to meet with me, work on my production plan, work on my marketing plan, things like that. These have been tremendous. They have allowed us to make this leap because we've had that support. And even if you think like, oh, I'm a tiny farm, I'm just doing something small on the side, you still can qualify for that assistance and you should take it because you don't need to do this alone. And you don't need to reinvent the wheel.
So where should farmers look for these types of resources? Jesse and Maria have some places to start.
I know here with University of Maryland Extension, we have some resources specifically for, we have a workbook specifically for beginning farmers. And so I would encourage anyone that is thinking about going into creating a farm business to visit our website, use that resource because it helps with the whole concept of developing the business plan. So that's a resource that can assist in thinking through all those details that you might not think about.
The Ag-Risk Management Library, they have resources like that. I would also encourage people to reach out to Cooperative Extension, whatever state they're in, because there are beginning farmer, but also succession planning workshops that look at the financial, but maybe also the legal sides of things.
Are there resources where people can learn about things like what loan programs exist or grant funding or lenders that lend for specialty crops or things along those lines?
The Farm Services Agency is a really great resource for that. And departments of agriculture also have some specialty grants. and typically have connections with farm credit and farm service agencies. So those would be places to start. There's also, you know, the small development centers, the minority development centers that would have maybe mini grants to start thinking about maybe urban agriculture projects or suburban agricultural projects, especially in the Northeast. That is key. There's a lot of growers who don't have acres. They've just got maybe a high tunnel in their backyard and are growing lettuce for the local restaurant. And that's farming too, right? So there's lots of resources out there.
And it's not just extension programs or ag departments where you can find help. Sometimes the best information comes right from your community.
And I would also talk to other farmers that are in the same kind of operation that you're in, because they're gonna be aware of the resources that they have used. And in some cases, they may recommend one agency over another because of their experience. And so definitely one of those things is get out there, gather the information, talk to people before you actually make a decision.
I feel really lucky being here in Vermont. I'm on a handful of farmer listservs and things like that. And so I'm constantly getting multiple emails from different farm-related agencies saying, hey, there's this funding opportunity. Hey, there's this grant. And I see other farmers sharing that information with each other too. It feels really collaborative. Even though sometimes we are competing with some of our best friends for these things, it never feels like that, because it almost feels like a win for one of us is a win for all of us.
It is like a winter wonderland. Oh my gosh. Oh, some tree limbs are cracking under the weight. It was a really heavy snow, so it's totally stuck to all the trees and branches and evergreens. And I'm about to start moving stuff into the greenhouse for our display and then knocking the snow off the sides of the greenhouse so that it'll be brighter and warmer in there later.
It's important to note that grants and assistance programs aren't some magic bullet that will fix all your problems.
You know, I think a lot of farms slip through the cracks of federal assistance. So for example, that first year, we didn't qualify for the first round of PPP. We didn't qualify for that because we didn't have a history of employees the year before. And even without employees, we couldn't show a decrease in income from 2019 to 2020. There was just no way, because we were growing on such a larger scale. So we weren't able to qualify for that. And that year, you know, there's a lot of unpredictability with farming. So there was a super late frost in May that damaged a lot of our early crops that were in the ground. And then last September, 14th, 15th, and 16th, we had three nights under 26 degrees. And it totally wiped out our hot peppers, which have been our largest crop since our first year. We were in a position where we just realized, wow, we don't have the income we need to finish out the season the way we thought we would. And we wound up having to let our crew go early. We wound up having to work a bit off farm. It caused a lot of stress.
But as Valerie found, persistence pays off.
I remember hearing the voicemail one evening that our application had gone through, and literally dancing through the house like, oh my God, thank God we get to do this again. You know, it felt like we had our one shot last year and didn't know if we were going to get the chance to grow for this community again. This year, we're in a much better place. When I say that, we're still not making tons of money. You know, we're still not paying ourselves even. But we're in a much better place in that we can still be employing some of our folks part-time through the end of the year. And we're able to make some infrastructure investments that are really critical for us.
And even if you're not yet where you want to be financially, there's still time.
At the end of the day, I love working for myself and with my partner. I love sharing food and growing food. I love just getting to witness how this planet we're on just wants to grow things. I could set something up to completely fail, and likely something's going to grow anyways because it's just determined to grow. And that inspires me a lot. You know, it inspires me a lot that even if it's not perfect, it's still growing.
I think that money in our society, at least, has become a proxy for so many other things. How successful you are, how hard you work, what kind of a work ethic you have, how scrupulous you are about taking care of money, it becomes almost reflexive to feel ashamed or envious or jealous when people have more than we have or we don't have as much as we feel like we should. Isn't always easy to come by in agriculture, but if you approach it like you do your farm, with care and with a plan, it can make it easier to manage.
Don't forget to reach out and lean on your community. We're all in this together, and odds are your neighbor has faced the same issues that you're facing and can point you in the right direction.
Finally, make sure you're squared away with health insurance and any fuel and food assistance that your family needs. You can't take care of your farm if you don't take care of yourself.
We're cleaning up from the market, which was a good day. But we're tired. It's about 3:45. It wound up being a really good day. A ton of people showed up. It got sunny in the greenhouse. And it was the best market sales-wise that we've had all year. It's also our last. So that's a good note to end on for us here at the farm. And a few of our friends are helping us wrap up. So we're going to go in and just crash out and enjoy some relaxation.
I'd like to thank Valerie Woodhouse from Honeyfield Farm in Norwich, Vermont, for all that she does for her community.
And thanks as well to Maria Papitas and Jesse Ketterman, who've taught us all so much. You'll be hearing more from those two as the season goes on.
Cultivating Resilience is a podcast from the Farm and Ranch Stress Assistance Network. Your hosts are me, Hans Hageman, and Kay Megan Washington. Writing and production for this show is by Andrew Ganim, with sound mixing and editing by Alex Bennett at Lower Street Media. Until next time, stay grounded.